single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
수요일. Good day everyone and welcome to today's Living Life. Today's passage and tomorrow's Psalm 74 is in a sense parallel and it flows on. It develops and progresses on from Psalm 73 that we looked at for the last 2 days. So if I can summarize, the idea is that is of a Christian's response, if I can contextualize, a Christian's response and prayer in the face of the prosperous and overpowering secular world. Psalm 73 showed more of a struggle, especially from a personal point of view, like personal struggle, the psalmist writing. Psalm 74 is more of a model, especially in and on a grander scale of a unity, of a congregation together, that a struggle that a congregation or a body, or a greater community facing. So let's read the passage and then we'll continue.
Psalm chapter 74, verses 1 through 11. A Maskil of Asaph. Why have you rejected us forever, O God? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the people you purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, whom you redeemed, Mount Zion, where you dwelt. Turn your steps toward these everlasting ruins, all this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. Your foes roared in the place where you met with us. They set up their standards as signs. They behaved like men weeding axes to cut through a thicket of trees. They smashed all the carved paneling with their axes and hatchets. They burned your sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their hearts, "We will crush them completely." They burned every place where God was worshipped in the land. We are given no miraculous signs, no prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be. How long will the enemy mock you, O God? Will the foe revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the folds of your garment and destroy them.
Now, as we continue, or before we continue, if at all possible, I would encourage you to read to the end of Psalm 74. So, you know, read ahead to tomorrow. So just turn the page, read ahead, or if you're on your phone, just, you know, open up your Bible, your app, read to the end of Psalm 74 so that you get the greater and the full context of today's passage. And then also, again, if at all possible, I would encourage you to go back and either reread or, if you haven't in the last 2 days, read Psalm 73 in its entirety again first, before we continue meditating and thinking about today's passage of Psalm 74 verses 1 to 11. Now, because I want you to see the similarities, right? So I hope you pause and you go back and welcome back after you've read all of 74 and then all of 73 again. Now, I want you to note and think about the similarities between Psalm 73 and Psalm 74. One of them, one of the biggest one, is the sense of the wicked or the godless left to their own devices and to do as they will, and seemingly without consequence, that they can do whatever they want and just seem to be enjoying the ability to be able to do whatever they want. And the second is, but the psalmist at the same time, in both cases, understands that there is consequence, that there are consequences, but in watching what is happening before them, just kind of the prosperity of the wicked, as 73 talks about a lot, there is struggle in the present as they witness what is going on and what they see, the secular world, the godless, the wicked, able to do and live as they please. And the last one, the last similarity, is the sense of abandonment by the psalmist. In Psalm 73, as I mentioned before, is a little more personal from an individual point of view, personal struggle. But 74 is more national. There's a more communal view of, it's not just me suffering watching, but there is actually persecution on the greater community beyond myself or beyond one person. So those are some of the similarities that I, you know, think you would agree. I hope you would agree with me. But there are differences as well. And this is telling. These are telling. Because the differences show a sense of progress between Psalm 74 from Psalm 73, even though it's kind of like a parallel and there are similarities. In Psalm 74, there is no doubt. There is no confusion in the psalmist of what the situation is really like. Now, today we end at verse 11, and that's why I want you to read ahead, because if you finish here, it seems like there is doubt, there is confusion, there is a sense of uncertainty. But if you continue, no, because it's talking about now God, He will, you will, God is, God will. There is no doubt in Psalm 74 or confusion of who is sovereign, right? Of what will happen, of the consequences that will befall the wicked and the godless. But the psalmist still tells it like it is, which is today's passage, the first half. You see the witness of what you see and the way they live and the carefree way and seemingly happy lives that they live while being godless and rejecting God and doing what is evil according to their wishes. Right? There is wondering in the psalmist, but there is no doubt. Because he comes from a place of full faith and trust in God. And this is expressed in verse 12 and on, which is tomorrow's passage. Right? Now, in Psalm 74, the psalmist goes to God more confidently and sooner. He turns to God much sooner. And today, as I think about, it's hard to kind of contextualize. It's talking about the fall of Jerusalem, a possible fall of Jerusalem, and people have tried to kind of pinpoint this psalm into a point in history where Jerusalem fell a couple of times, which is kind of adding to the confusion. But as I was thinking about, how do we approach this today? I think very often we have a pressure to pray in a holy way, right? In a very faithful way, which kind of seems to be going against what I was saying, but if just kind of give me a bit of time, we have to pray like really positively. And it's, what is it, bad? Discouraged to pray in a sad way, right? To lament in our prayers, to be sad, to be hopeless in our prayers. That prayer shouldn't be negative. Right? But there is a book of Lamentations in the Bible, and they're filled. The entire book is about how to pray, crying to God in times of suffering, persecution, and attack. Right? So there is a way to pray in times of extreme suffering and difficulty. And today's passage, Psalm 74, models that for us. Now, this is something we need to learn before we are forced to pray and experience times of extreme difficulty and suffering. The more we learn to pray honestly before God, we start from learning how to pray like the psalmist prays in Psalm 73, and then we come to a more sure and firm place of faith and trust in God. It's hard to be an intercessor without learning how to pray in this way. As we witness the clear way in which the world lives and lives against and without God, we don't have to disregard what we see. We don't have to turn a blind eye or pretend that it's not happening, that everything is okay, that everyone is hallelujah, praise the Lord. But we live in the world, but not of it. And that is how we see it, but that is not the truth. That is not the end. We live according to the ways of God. So if you find yourself discouraged by the successes of the wicked and the worldly, and you think you're losing, or the kingdom of God is losing in some way, Psalm 74 is a model for us how to come to God and pray in times of suffering and difficulty as well. As Christ calls us to be in the world, but not of it, one of the ways we can do this and still stand as an intercessor, not just to exist in but not of it, but to really be an active in but not of, as an intercessor. We do this by praying steadfastly, by interceding steadfastly in the midst of whatever situation that we are in, whatever hopelessness, you know, hopeless situation we are in, as we see the successes of the wicked, and as we are still patient, remaining holy and following and looking up to God, things seem to be moving slowly, but we stay steadfast and we pray. We pray things as we see it, but also as we see it, as we look to God and keep our gaze upward to God and heavenward as well. I pray that we are encouraged by this word today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your unchanging word and your faithfulness that it proclaims, God. And Lord, in our everyday lives, as we see, sometimes things don't happen for us or even for you, God, in our society, in our city, in our country, Lord. And we see the successes of the wicked, of the godless, of the secular. I pray, God, that we will not lose heart, because that is not the plain and simple reality. We know the greater reality. So help us, Lord, to pray steadfastly, even as just the world that we see it, as we see it. But we know that there is more. This is not the end. And your sovereignty is assured and is faithful and definite, Lord. So we want to pray and live according to your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a further and stepping in closer.